my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the floods of the ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. In my distress I called upon the Lord. I cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even unto his ears. Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations also of the hills moved and were shaken, because he was wroth. There went up a smoke out of his nostrils, and fire out of his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down, and darkness was under his feet. And he rode upon a cherub and did fly. Yea, he did fly upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his secret place. His pavilion round about him were dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. At the brightness that was before him, his thick clouds passed. Hailstones and coals of fire. The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the highest gave his voice. Hailstones and coals of fire. Yea, he sent out his arrows and scattered them. He shot out lightnings and discomforted them. Then the channels of the waters were seen, and the foundations of the world were discovered at thy rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of thy nostril. He sent from above, he took me. He drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them which hated me, for they were too strong for me. They prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. I'd like to welcome those of you who are worshiping with us live via the speakerphones, and also those of you who will be receiving CDs, God willing, within the next week or so. Having an evening service today, and we, God willing, will be having that for probably the next 6 months or so because of a change in my work schedule down at the bakery. So it's about 6:30 here at beautiful Coon Valley, Wisconsin, where we've just had a light rain and have threatening weather coming, I guess. I'm looking forward to another night of thunder, lightning, storms, which I particularly love. We're going to be looking today at the final verse in Revelation chapter 16, which describes the end of the world. And we've looked at some of that already. I'd like to reread the verses which describe the pouring out of the seventh and final bowl of the wrath of God. And we have described here one of the greatest acts of love ever seen in the history of the world. We're in Revelation chapter 16, verse 17 and following. And the seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air. And there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, "It is done," in the Greek, one word. And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. And great Babylon came in remembrance before God, to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. We looked at these verses the last time we met. I remember especially verse 20, which we just read. And then verse 21 this evening, And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent. And men blasphemed God because of the plagues of the hail, for the plague thereof was exceeding great. Could have covered verse 21 along with the others, but the reason we didn't is a very personal one as far as I'm concerned. For me, one of the great miracles in creation is a hailstorm.
Yeah.
And I can still remember the first time I saw one. I was very young at the time. I don't remember how old I was. But I remember looking out the window in early evening at one of our house in the north side of the trough, and seeing the hail pelting down and hearing it as it tattooed the roof of our house. And the green grass before long was covered with white hailstones that were about the size of mothballs. And the storm only lasted for a short time, and it was over. I remember going outside, and the sun was shining at that point, and gathering in a bowl that my mother had given me a number of these hailstones, and just marveling at them. They looked like pearls to me. I couldn't understand at the time why my father wasn't as enthused about this hailstorm as I was. But those were days when we were young and didn't have a lot of the cares that we have when we grow older. There are advantages in being little children. But I'll never forget that, and neither will I ever forget the verse, one of the most amazing and mysterious verses in Scripture, to me at least, found in Job 38, verse 22. Hast thou entered into the treasures of the snow? And God willing, we're going to be looking at that beautiful, mysterious verse at our nature retreat, which will be held again, God willing, the third Saturday in September up at beautiful Kuro State Park. Then the last part of the verse, or hast thou seen the treasures of the hail? The treasures of the snow, the treasures of the hail. This is one of those verses that if you have a love for nature at all, once you've read it, you never forget it. The Holy Spirit sometimes writes that way. And equally intriguing is the verse that follows it. Looking at the last part of verse 22 again, and then verse 23. Or hast thou seen the treasures of the hail, which I have reserved against the time of trouble, against the day of battle and war? And you read that, you can't ever forget that either. Who would guess that one of God's most powerful weapons as he enters into warfare against the enemy of his bride are the treasures of hail that he has reserved in heaven? Now, first references in Scripture are always very, very important. And the first time we run across the word hail is back in Exodus chapter 9. As always, the context is extremely important. The children of Israel are slaves under the tyrant Pharaoh. God has commanded Pharaoh to let them go so they can worship him in the wilderness. Pharaoh drew a line in the sand. Who is the Lord God of Israel that I should let his people go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let his people go. And so came a series of plagues. Plague number 7 is the plague of the hail, and it relates to the seventh bowl of the wrath of Almighty God being poured out. Only back in Exodus chapter 9, it's only a miniature, a small little preview of the great coming attraction. The Lord God through Moses said to Pharaoh, "Behold, tomorrow about this time I will cause it to rain a very grievous hail, such has not been seen in Egypt since the foundation thereof, even until now." Egypt was a very ancient civilization, but they saw something new that day. Some hail the likes of which they had never experienced before. In all their annals of history, there had been nothing like this. Verse 16, "And in very deed for this cause have I raised thee up, to show in thee my power, that my name may be declared through all the earth. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch forth thine hand toward heaven, that there may be hail in the land of Egypt upon man and upon beast and upon every herb of the field throughout the land of Egypt. And Moses stretched forth his rod toward heaven, and the Lord sent thunder and hail, and the fire ran upon the ground. And the Lord rained hail upon the land of Egypt, and there was hail and fire mingled with the hail, very grievous, such as there was none like it in all the land of Egypt since it became a nation. And the hail smote through all the land of Egypt, all that was in the field, both man and beast. And the hail smote every herb of the field and brake every tree of the field. Only in the land of Goshen, where the children of Israel were, there was no hail. Not one hailstone fell." This amazing event is referred to different times in Scripture. Psalm 78, verses 47 and 48 refers to it. "He destroyed their vines with hail and their sycamore trees with frost." Psalm 105, verses 32 and 33 refer to it. "He gave them hail for rain and flaming fire in their land. He smote their vines also and their fig trees, and he brake the trees of their copse." Remember the context. The main scene of the book of Exodus is justification. God saving his people. They were down in Egypt. They were under Pharaoh's control. Pharaoh would not let them go. God came and forced Pharaoh to do that and then destroyed him under the waters of the Red Sea. That was in the book of Exodus. The next mention is in the book of Joshua. This is after Israel has already been freed from Egypt. And they've wandered the 40 years in the wilderness, and they have entered the Holy Land. But they had to fight. They had to fight for every single inch they got. And one of the most amazing battles in the history of the world, and I have never, ever read anything that can come close to this in the annals of Caesar, when we had to translate that from the Latin back in college, or any of the other heathen commanders. There has been nothing ever, ever like this. Joshua and the children of Israel facing a powerful army composed of five kings who joined forces against Israel. "And the Lord said unto Joshua, fear them not." I don't care how many horses they've got. I don't care how many chariots they've got. I don't care how many numbers they've got. Don't be afraid of them. Why? "For I have delivered them into thine hand. There shall not a man of them stand before thee. Joshua therefore came upon them suddenly and went up all night from Gilgal, an all night march." Then he fought. "And the Lord discomforted them before Israel and slew them with a great slaughter at Gibeon. and chased them along the way that goeth up to Beth Horon, and smote them to Azekah. Remember that word, the name of the city, and unto Makeda. And it came to pass, as they fled from before Israel, and were in the going down to Beth Horon, that the Lord cast down great stones from heaven upon them unto Azekah, and they died. And they were more that died with hailstones than they whom the children of Israel slew with the sword. Remember that passage in Job, the treasures of the hail that I have reserved in heaven against the day of judgment against the heathen? Here it is. Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day that the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. There were three miracles that day. The first one was the hail. The second one was, he said in the sight of Israel, Son, stand thou still upon Gibeon. That was the second great miracle. And the third miracle was, and thou moon in the valley of Adullam. And the sun stood still and the moon stayed until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and hasted not to go down about a whole day. And there was no day like that before it or after it, that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. And Joshua returned and all Israel with him unto the camp of Gilgal. And there wasn't one Israelite that was hit by the hail. Talk about marksmanship. Now these two amazing events, interestingly enough, and it had to be this way, that took place in the book of Exodus, when the children of Israel were still under bondage to Pharaoh, type of the devil, and God fought for them and freed them in a miraculous way that the Egyptians had never seen before. And now, when they're conquering the Holy Land, and the devil's trying to stop that, and God fights for them again, and has something happen that had never happened before and has never happened since. And now, does it surprise any of us that we see hail here again in the book of Revelation? After what happened down in Egypt, and after what happened at Azekah, I would be shocked if we didn't see hail in the book of Revelation. And sure enough, here it is. The final two occurrences of this beautiful, mysterious word is found in the verse we're looking at. And it takes place on the last day of the world. And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven. That's the first, the second last mention of it. Every stone about the weight of a talent. And men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail. There's the last mention of it in Scripture. For the plague thereof was exceedingly great. They were not expecting this. In the same way that the heathen people in the days of Noah were not expecting rain to fall, because it had never fallen before. 120 years, at least some of them, watched Noah building this ark. Why are you building the ark? Because there's going to be a flood coming in 120 years, and the world's going to be destroyed. That can't happen. Nothing like that in the annals of science. A mist comes up every morning and waters the earth for a few minutes, and then it quits. It's always been that way. And if someday it doesn't get turned off and it keeps misting, we've got hundreds and thousands of years yet to build an ark. It can't happen. But it did. Something happened the scientists had never seen before. It rained. No, not it rained, God rained. That's what the Greeks say, God rained. They're closer to the truth. Well, they'd never seen anything like this before either. Every stone was about the weight of a talent. We don't really know for sure how much a talent weighed. We've got a few possibilities. Now, those who have studied history tell us that a Jewish talent for silver weighed about 115 pounds. The Jewish talent for other things weighed about 135 pounds. The Egyptian talent was about 86 pounds. Greek talent, also 86 pounds. Some say the Attic talent was about 56 pounds. And the talent used in Antioch weighed 390 pounds. Pick your poison. Few people can conceive of the damage that a hailstone does unless you've seen it. We happen to have an eyewitness report of a man who witnessed a hailstorm at Constantinople, October of 1831. This is what he says. After an uncommonly sultry night, threatening clouds arose about 6 in the morning, and a noise between thunder and tempest, yet not to be compared to either, increased every moment. And the inhabitants of the capital, roused from their sleep, awaited with anxious expectation the issue of this threatening phenomenon. Their uncertainty was not of long duration. Lumps of ice as large as a man's foot, falling singly, and then like a thick shower of stones, which destroyed everything with which they came in contact. The oldest people do not remember ever to have seen such hailstones. Some were picked up half an hour afterwards, which weighed more than a pound. The dreadful storm passed over Constantinople, and along, there's four words here, I am not even going to attempt to pronounce. And the fairest, nay, the only hope of this beautiful and fertile land, the vintage just commenced, was destroyed in a single day. Animals of all kind, even some people, were killed. An innumerable number are wounded, and the damage done to houses cannot be calculated. The force of the falling masses of ice was so great that they broke to atoms all the tiles on the roofs and, like musket balls, shattered planks. Now, that was from the eyewitness of a hailstorm in Constantinople. You couldn't begin to compare it to something like this. What would it have been like to be hit with a hailstone like God thundered down upon the heathen people here? Let's remember the context. You know, there's a saying we have in our country. You've heard it. You had better watch out what you wish for, because you just might get it. And looking at the second rung of the top, from the top of the ladder, the devil was the one who forced the issue here. He is the one who gathered all his forces together for one final showdown. Little did he realize that he was playing into the hand of God when he did that. One final attempt, and I call this one of the greatest acts of love in the history of the world. Because what the devil was after, and all his wicked ones, was to destroy the bride of Jesus Christ. The battle which began way, way back in Eden's garden And the Father said to the serpent, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall crush thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Well, the bruising of the heel had been done. Now came the crushing of the head. Fittingly enough, men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail. The last words these heathen people uttered were blasphemy against the Almighty God. Picture it this way, and remember the verse that preceded this. The islands weren't there anymore. The mountains were all gone. There was no place to hide anymore. It's the final showdown. I don't know if this is a good analogy or not, but imagine a flat area made of hard marble that stretched millions and millions of miles in all directions. Not one tree, not one bush, nothing. And the children of Israel gathering his army, the children of the devil gathering his army, the devil and all his wicked ones in one place to make one final attack on the bride of Jesus Christ. And they look up, and the hail starts to come down. Each one weighing a talent, whatever that may have been, with unerring accuracy. And there's no place to run, and there's no place to hide. Within minutes, it's all over. And the battle can be described in two words: no survivors. Love a prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the precious promise that you've given us that one day every single enemy of ours is going to be destroyed. Satan and all his wicked ones. And that you will keep the promise that you've made to us to come and save your bride. And that then, after all of the enemies have been destroyed, and there is no more opposition forever, we will enter with you as a perfect bride prepared by the Holy Spirit and your word to live with you in your kingdom of glory forever. We pray now the prayer that you've taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.